It's good to be here on another community conference. Just a few thoughts that we'd like to bring to your attention. Just a common saying in the world, and just come across it just recently, that it's a fine line between success and failure. Some of you might disagree with that, but it's perfectly true. It doesn't matter what sphere we look at, it's still a fine line between success and failure. Perhaps we could look at one of the answers to it, and found in the book of Joshua, and we'll use this as the base for some of our comments in relation to the sermon. Joshua chapter 1, please. So it's a fine line between success and failure. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This is what we can take away from here today. Joshua 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So it was very conditional on particularly the Jewish people being obedient. And just as we've had a thoughts brought to us regarding the Old Testament patriarchs and the obedience that they had, they were to do all that was according that was written in the law of the Lord. And then their way would be made prosperous and they would have good success. Now, in case we don't get to this point, I think we should read Isaiah 42, please. This is just the opposite, the other end of the situation. Isaiah 42. With us, there's always failure. And it doesn't matter how good a man or woman there are, there's always a certain amount of failure with each one of us. But we read these words in Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighted. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment for the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment and the truth. And listen to these words. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his Lord. Now that's the tremendous difference between the Lord Jesus Christ and ourselves. Now this in mind, could we look at the situation in relation to Abraham's servant? Going back to Genesis 24, please. So we come to the seed point of the Bible, where all the seeds are sown. And here we come to Genesis 24, and we read in verse 1, And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his elder servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, that I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac, and so on. Verse 5, And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring my son again into the land from which thou camest, and so on. And so verse 6 tells us that Abraham swore to him and told him, and that he would be clear of his oath, down to the end of verse 8. So verse 10. Now it's interesting that Abraham didn't give him all the details on this mission. And sometimes you and I aren't given all the details. But the servant used his initiative. He'd been with Abraham a long time. He knew how he thought. He knew how he would react. It's a perfect master-servant relationship to Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nabal. Verse 11, and he made his camels kneel down. Pretty good, isn't it? You say, oh, you've seen pictures of camels kneeling down. That's a common thing. Yes, they've got to get down so that you can get on board. But you know, we have a bit of a struggle, don't we, as Christians, kneeling down. Here we have Abraham's servants. That's one of the first things. He got the camels. They knelt down. He made the camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw. Here we have verse 12 is prayer. So there are limitations with me, and just as we started our comments, there's a fine line between success and failure. Was this mission of the servants going to be a failure? And it could have been. It could have been another failure. Here's one of the secrets to it. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord my God, on my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And he unfolds to the Lord all that's in his heart. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the hands of whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thee thy camel drink also. Let the same be she that shall, that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So it was a big ask, wasn't it? But you see how God is working, and it's not long, and his prayer is completely answered. Now some of the features of this servant, he's unnamed in this chapter, but could well be he's unnamed here, but he is named in other places. Limelight, is it? Named something like that. He is trustworthy. He's got integrity, he's got purpose, he uses initiative, he takes the 10 camel, he's a praying man, he's sent on a mission that's totally beyond him, he can't handle it, so he hands it over to the Lord. So that's a good example for us. It wasn't just a traditional thing that he did, it was a definite need that he had, and he would have liked to have pulled this whole mission off as a real success. Well, unless the Lord was going to work, it would have never been a success. So often, when we get in a jam, who do we turn to? We talk to our relations. We talk to so-and-so. We talk to the responsible brethren. All human voices giving us some sort of advice. And you've got to sift it all out. But you know, the servant, he prayed to the right source, and he got the right answer. The Lord gave him the right answer in due time. So we could say in his case, it was definitely a success. Definitely a success. Now the whole thing hinged on the response of the woman, wasn't it? And Abraham, the servant had told Abraham, what if the woman reneges? What if she says, no, I'm not going? Too big a risk? Far too big a risk. And they eventually bring her out. And Laban and Bethuel say, wilt thou go with this man? And she just said, those three words, I will go. Well, pretty humbling, isn't it? As you think of a woman who threw it all in and took that vast step across the hundreds of miles of desert to take on a man that she'd never seen before. A big ask, a huge ask. But you know, the servant was confident. You know, he could see the Lord working, and he told the Lord all about it. The woman that gives me water, feeds, gives water to the camel, that's going to be the one. And when he comes to the house, he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He could see the Lord working in that situation, the mission that his master had given to him. Abraham's totally out of sight. You know, people all can work without the box, can't they? People can work. They can respond. You give them the same responsibility at them. And they'll rise to the occasion. And the servant, on this occasion, he did. And we can say from the record of Scripture that it was an amazing success. Now, we just think of some of the servants in Scripture. We read in Psalm 105 of the, they set a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Sold for a bond servant. Joseph sold way down in Egypt. It says in that psalm that they heard him speak with fetters, and he was laid in iron. So, Joseph was a servant. We see Jacob was a servant of Laban, and he served him 21 years. And he talks about the times when the sleep departed from his eyes, and the frost was upon him. And he said to Laban, you've changed my wages 10 times. So it all wasn't good in Jacob's situation. But he says, Jacob was a servant of Laban. We've just been hearing about Moses. He was the servant of the Lord. We think of Joshua. And we just read that verse concerning him about success. Joshua was the servant of the Lord. We read of David, he was a servant of the Lord, and so on. So all of us, whether it's collectively or individually, we have an important part to play in this complex business of serving others. Sometimes we renege. Sometimes we sit tight and let others do it, and we should be there doing it. You know, that servant, that of Abraham's household, it was a wonderful success story. So we can't, in his situation, we can't say it was a fine line between failure and success totally. The Lord was behind it all. He was working in it and through it. But you know, each of us, for us, each of us, there's a day of review ahead, isn't it? And it would be interesting for each one of us to hear that, those words. Well done. I wonder what the servant said to Isaac when he met him. Remember, they're on the camel, and we read that Rebecca, she lied him off the camel, and she says, what man is this that cometh to meet me? And of course the servant said, it is my master. And it was Isaac. What was he doing out there at that time of night? It said he was meditating. As he looks into the distance, he sees the camels coming. Chose the reverence that Rebecca had. She'd never seen that man before. She put a veil on her head. She acknowledged the headship of the man. She put a veil on his head, on her head. And there we find eventually they were married, they became one. And we know the story as it unfolds to us. Well, in Luke's Gospel, we have the interesting comment in Luke chapter 17. It says this, so likewise ye, when ye have done all these things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. Now, did Abraham's servant, did he do it out of duty? Now, a lot of the things we can do out of duty and not out of love for the Lord. There's a whole host of things that we can do out of duty. We can think, oh, the meeting will fall down if we don't put our shoulder to the wheel. You know, if we don't do something, it'll collapse and all this sort of thing. Well, we fail to realise that the Lord's able to raise up sometime out of the most unexpected places to raise up those to fill the gap. He always has in the past and on. We should have confidence that he will be able to do the same in the future. Our Luke's Gospel said we have done that which was our duty to do. We are profitable servants. Well, perhaps we can all say that to a certain measure. We are unprofitable servants. We're not up to scratch, don't we? We are prone to failure. by the line between failure and success. And yet, the Lord really wants us to succeed in the business of spiritual living. In Chronicles, we have David's thanksgiving. And I quote these words to you from 1 Chronicles 29. It says, "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly unto this Lord? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are but strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are just as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name. It cometh of thine hand, and of thine own acquisition." So what's David saying? He's saying, all we've got is totally by. We're just custodians of what the Lord has entrusted to us. That's exactly what Abraham's servant was. He was custodian. He was on a mission. And he was dependent on a higher power to be able to make it successful. So, one thing about stewards, it says that they should be found faithful. And Abraham's servant certainly proved that. Faithfulness in his stewardship. So there's three factors that the servant of Christ must state. Three words. And they are these: obedience, patience, and endurance. Now all of us that are in the business of serving others, we've got to learn what those words mean. Patience. Obedience and endurance. Without them, there's no point. We think of Exodus 21, we think of the situation with the Hebrew servant. Remember, he's given the option. There he is, he'd been in the house, been with the master all those years. He'd been given a wife, there's a family come along, and he's got the children there, and then it comes the time for him to go free. Go a free man. Remember, every 7 years, things change. So it's the year of release. Every 50 years was the year of Jubilee. And the Hebrew servant, he had the opportunity of walking away from all the problems. What does he say? He said, "I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I will not go out free." You know, it's humbling as we think of that Hebrew servant. To think it wasn't a case of we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was their duty to do. It was straight out love that compelled them to stay and be a servant really. The master took him to the door. He put it all through his ear and he was a servant till he died. Well, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant. And we've just read those verses in Isaiah. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." He's the outstanding one, isn't he? If we want to take an example of what a servant should do, we only need to look to him. See, Proverbs 8 was it say, "Then was I by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." This is the perfect servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. "I put my spirit upon him." That's what it says in Isaiah 42. But in John's Gospel, chapter 3, it says that he that hath received his testimony hath set to a seal that God is true. But he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the spirit by measure unto him. Paul words it this way: "In him dwell all the fullness of God here." Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who took the towel there in John 3, the one who showed his disciples how to do it, through humility came greatness? Now Isaiah 11, it says these words: "There shall come forth a root out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might." And we read in Isaiah 42 that he will not fail nor be discouraged. Now that's different from us, isn't it? We can get down to certain things, and they benefit us. We can be propped up by others. We can take encouragement from the scriptures. That the things that were written, just as we've been reading in Hebrews 11, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. That's where our hope lies, in the Word of God. All our spiritual blessings, all our information, it all comes from the scripture of the truth. Everything that we know about spiritual things comes from the Word of God. In Isaiah 50, another more or less messianic chapter that tells us, it says about the Lord as the servant, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. That I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ ever saying those words, the tongue of the word, that he might know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And for us, seeking to convey spiritual information, whether it's to a saint or to a sinner, it takes a lot of wisdom, doesn't it? It takes a lot of grace to say the right thing at the right time. And here in Isaiah 50, that I might be able to speak a word to see to him that is weary. So there's a lot out there in our world that are weary, and they want to hear that right word. But he goes on to say in that chapter, and he says, I gave my back to the spiders, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face for shame to speak. This is the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we should look at Isaiah 52, just for a verse there. Isaiah 52, that speaks of the servant. Isaiah 52, and it says in verse 13, Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted, he shall be extolled, he shall be very high. So it's not Abraham's servant. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. He shall be exalted and be extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so nigh more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, the kings shall shut their mouths at him, and so on. Then we come down to Isaiah 53 and verse 10 and 11. And we read these words. Isaiah 53 and verse 10, Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. It says there, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of me, and he made intercession for the transgressors. And we'd just like to close on that note there that we have that Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 2 about the Lord Jesus Christ. We often hear those words read and brief comment on them on the Lord's Day morning sometimes, don't we? He made himself of no reputation and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Well, this servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, he surpasses Abraham's servant. He was a total success. And yet the Romans thought that they had won the day. To the disciples looking on, it was a disaster, the death of Christ. For us, looking at it from our point of history, it was a total success. Why? That's what it says there in verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. That's you and all. The travail of the soul. Look at the millions that are going to be in heaven because the sacrifice and the death of Christ was one who was.